Welcome back to Funtown, everybody. It's Tuesday for us. It's Wednesday for you. It's another week. And as promised, we are back. I'm here with Jeff Oske. What's up,
Hello.
Brother? Austin Real.
How's it going?
And Lady of Radio, Jess Alsman.
Hello.
I used my radio voice when I said that.
Aww.
So I hope you appreciate
it. Special. I do.
Man, what a week. What a week. I actually had a real comedy club weekend. That was different.
Yeah.
It was felt a little weird to actually get outside to a new landscape. It was, driving was, I haven't driven more than 10 minutes at a time.
What, since March 4th? What, like 8 hours or whatever?
Yeah, it was like 6 hours each way. And then you have to go through Chicago and deal with that nightmare, all that stuff. And it was pouring ass rain. I got a little nervous. I usually don't get nervous driving, but Chicago traffic, pouring ass rain, we can barely see.
First time back in the saddle.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but I made it. I made it. It was cool. Appleton, Wisconsin, lovely, lovely place.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome people. Awesome club. To any comedian who's never played there, the staff is the shit. And
nice.
All the people in the town are awesome. So,
how did they do the, did they socially distance? Did they not have as many people?
Yeah, it was only 35% capacity, so...
Oh, wow.
35%? Your drink, did you do, hey, your drink minimum tonight is 19.
We got to make up. I should have. I didn't think of it. So it felt like, when you look out, it's full, except each table is about, obviously 6+ feet from each other. So it's just, you got these pockets where you can see floor, which that's a little different because usually comedy clubs, try to squeeze and sandwich people together as tight as they can. So, but other than that, and I think it does affect the response a little bit being spread out, So, but it was great. Everybody that came was awesome. That was fun. So
I saw
felt good.
Your pictures, it looked like you had good crowds.
Yeah. I think we had 60. And then 30, and then 60, and 40, or something like that.
Damn, you were over capacity.
It was actually, it was more. One show was 80 some somehow. So I,
wow.
82, and then one was 70. You're right, I fucked that all up. But anyway, good turnout for given the restrictions that were in place.
Yeah,
and it was weird. Like in Wisconsin, the first time, like as soon as we got there, they didn't have our room ready, so we were like, well, we're starving. Let's just go grab something to eat. A lot of every fast food restaurant right there around the hotel, and you go there and you can't dine in, so you can only dine in if the place also sells alcohol. And I'm like, this is the most Wisconsin fucking rule I've ever heard of, dude. Like every bar, every restaurant that also serves beer and alcohol, boom, open.
Yeah,
come on in. Taco Bell, nope, go through the drive-thru.
Yeah, crazy. And I don't know, I believe it's Wisconsin or Milwaukee, because, to me, they're all the same fucking place. But there's one bar that, 92 cases of Corona all trace back to this one bar being open.
Oh, really?
It's
crazy.
It came out today. It's like, It's like
that's the Rajneeshis coming back.
Yeah, no shit. Jesus. I wish I had enough time to go hunt down. There has to be a couple Rajneeshi left over from Wild Wild Country.
Someone that we all know posted on social media a quote from Osho, and I was like, ooh. Oh, sorry.
Really?
I don't know how I feel about Osho. I'm sure,
I'm
of course,
Osho.
He's all about, he can talk the talk, and it's all great, but it's like, yeah, but like.
Is this,
still
is
a cult
this
leader.
Some bullshit from that other podcast you three did?
Yeah.
Hashtag Doc Heads, never forget.
Talk there.
Well, Wild Wild Country, I think most of America saw it on Netflix.
Doc Heads, everybody, where I interview the former members of Doc Heads. Jess, when did you realize it was all going wrong? Go ahead.
When Sheila made me feel things 3 hours after watching it.
Very emotional.
Did that one get pretty
sucky? Yeah, I had the worst ending of all time. Yeah. Started off with a bang, and then it was pretty much just nothing happened.
Don't watch it.
Yeah, don't
watch it. I'm not going. Your life will be fine without ever viewing 1 second of this documentary.
I probably will never have time again in the rest of my life.
Big Netflix recommendation, though. Anyone who's into any kind of like murder show or serial killers, any of that stuff, Hannibal on Netflix is the new Dexter. It's better than Dexter. It's so good. Yeah, I say it's better than Dexter because it's darker. And it's more intense, and it's, you know, has a hell of a lot more killing in it. So, you know, Dexter was cool because it mixed his lighter dad side with the serial killer side and all that. But this is just pretty much just like, fucking, this is murder, solve murders, murder, solve murders. And then not know who in the fuck is killing everybody in between. Yeah, just nonstop. It's great. Whoa. And great people in it. So everybody should watch this. 3 seasons. I'm in the middle of the 3rd season right now. It's addicting. I've hammered that out in about a week.
This is pretty good.
Yeah, I just sit at night, late at night, and I watch like 4 or 5 episodes. But anyway, great, great show. What was going on with everybody else this week?
Well, I've had to watch more fucking Outlander. Thanks, Jessica. Like, you're addicted? I actually, the other night, I go, hey, Maggie, how about I just give you her number? And you guys can be friends now and talk your shit so I don't have to listen to it.
I thought about starting like a Outlander, I would say a book club, but I'm not reading all the books because when I start reading, I get ADD and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't read.
But I should start a little like, hey, join me on this, I don't know, insert whatever, Zoom call or whatever. And let's just all talk about the TV show.
Oh my gosh. We are now, somehow, we're now purchasing seasons. I don't know that. Like, they give you the first couple seasons for free, and then they charge you $900 for every season after that, which seems steep.
I think it's like $8 a month if you can rent it, or what do you call it, Stars?
Well, that's the thing. We did the Stars 7-day free trial, which meant we had to jam 2 seasons worth of Outlander in 7 days.
I got to hurry up before I start paying.
Which my girlfriend managed to pull off. Nice. I saw her this morning when I was leaving from work. And she was going to bed from watching Outlander all night.
Okay, so whatever one of you didn't use that free trial, the other one needs to sign up for Stars. Right now it's $25 for 6 months. You're welcome.
Yeah.
That's less than $5 a month.
There you go.
For pure joy.
Nice.
It's almost impossible not to be watching more Outlander at these rates, Jeff. I mean, I don't know how you can't.
I mean, it's basically free. They're almost paying you to watch Outlander.
Yeah.
She told me that she, upon the ending, which I wasn't even there for, I was in bed. I was asleep. I just randomly sit down and watch random episodes with her. Mm-hmm. She said the second it was over, like she was sitting there and I think I'm going to start it over. And like wanted to go back to season 1, episode 1.
Okay, so this is a very normal behavior for an Outlander fan. I watched season 1 of Outlander, and as I finished it, if you watch season 1, it's kind of a bummer ending a little bit in there. Like, what the heck? Then I started that again, and then I went on to 2, came back to 1, watched 3, got halfway through 1 for the good stuff.
Jesus.
It's real good.
Is 1 where the heat's at?
Yeah. Heat, passion. Well,
the only thing that made me feel any better was she is now in some Outlander groups. And there was a girl today, apparently, who commented, since quarantine has started, she has watched the entire Outlander series 37 times.
No. Holy crap. Well, I don't get that kind of time.
Is it just all she watches?
That's nuts.
Apparently.
Is she okay?
There's one episode. There's one episode in season 1. I guarantee every woman has probably watched 37 times, though. Just the one episode.
It shows his dick or what?
No, it's just it's really good.
Okay. All right.
No pee.
Is he just like super handsome and like charming? And
I mean, when I first watched episode 1, I was like, meh, didn't really think anything of it. It's like, after a while, it kind of grows on you, the whole,
what's
their
his
chemistry.
Move in this?
It's the accent, man. It's the accent.
What is he?
He's Scottish.
Scottish.
And they speak Gaelic a lot. And so, like, Dinfash Sassenach. And they're also old school because it's like 1743 or something.
Nice.
Delightful.
I like a good Scottish accent for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I got my grass starting to grow a little bit. So not tilling it didn't prevent it. It did in some spots. It hasn't started growing yet, but in the giant spots, it started growing. But there's a dude that's bringing me some stuff. He works, like, that's what they do where he works. So he's got some stuff that's, like, super hardcore. You know, just put it on there, and it eats away the pockets in the soil, and then it lets the seed, you know, go deep and then germinate out. Some industrial-grade shit. So I'm getting that tomorrow. We'll see what happens then.
You're putting down something that eats dirt.
Aerates the dirt.
Yeah, like, right? Self-aerates, yeah. Just creates a little, like, pocket, and then...
I know, maybe for acid, or...
Yeah, probably.
What is this? You know, no one even knows. It's got, just put it on the ground.
Yeah. I looked up a lot of stuff. I was like, I'm a doctor of soil, or Dr. Soil, or something like that. And I looked it up. There's a bunch of products out there.
Yeah.
Already taken. Because I'm trying to grow soil. And my, I guess that's how you'd say it, but it's amending the soil. Because I had was dust.
What are you using to do that with?
Well, I got some nice composted manure. Got some good topsoil, and then what I had, a some random tiller. Just these hands and a shovel. Just a lot.
I've got to bring in more dirt because my roots on my trees are starting to get really exposed, like far away from the tree. You know what I mean? So I've got to build it up around each tree, really good, or a tree's going to fall on my house. One or the other, eventually. So.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So I planted some grass last Thursday. Some more grass. It's already coming up. You can see it through the straw. Nice. My other ones I planted 2 weeks ago, fully green the entire area. And then the stuff I planted three or four weeks ago, I mowed just the other day.
Nice. Wow. Perfect.
I'm on fire. My neighbor again yesterday, I went out to tell my dog to stop barking at my neighbor, and he was just leaning on my fence. He goes, "That's a good damn yard."
Like, you know what,
Trump supporter, you're all right.
One of my dogs, actually, I thought was going to get the UPS man today because it was dropped off a package. And on the side door where you come in, it's the screen door was just there, the storm door, and it wasn't shut all the way. And I think Gibson, the Great Dane, when he... you know, beat his head against it or whatever, it just popped open. And then he was, I saw him like surprised for a second. And he's like, "Oh, I think it means I go." And he just, whoa. And luckily I could get there in time to like grab a hold of the back of his neck and be like, "Get in there."
But what was the build on this UPS guy? I'm trying to imagine.
Not fast.
So it was more one of those stutter step in place as he panics. And
Yeah. It would have been not good. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know.
So while we were trying to get our levels going before the show, all of a sudden, I'm out in my garage and I have some windows up high, and through the window I just see this gentleman just glide past all of my windows on my driveway, like almost like a ghost.
Really?
But not a ghost, a human being, but just goes flying past all my windows, but like completely.
Was he on a hoverboard?
I go out, the motherfucker's on a goddamn hoverboard.
Whoa, are you serious?
Yeah. And
what a guess.
So it was like purple, and so it's like parked in my front flower bed. So I go inside, and I open the door, and the guy goes, "How are you today, sir?" And I'm like, "God, dude, I'm on a Zoom call. What do you need?" Well, I'm working with some of your neighbors. I'm working with Terry and Mark. And I go, "Yeah, I don't know Terry and Mark. What do you, I'm on a call. What do you need?" "Well, I don't know if you've noticed these bugs. There's a lot of bugs that are going around the neighborhood. You got your ants, I go, "Dude, wrap it up. I'm on a call. Like, I need," and he just kind of goes, And so I just shut the door. And
that's it. Like, just wanted to let you know there's a lot of bugs out here.
And he just glided down my driveway.
That same guy was at my house last week. And I decided to, I don't know.
On a hoverboard?
Yes. Wait. It was white. And I can almost tell you the company's name. And he's like, "I just talked to, you know, Mark and so-and-so." And they always do. They always have to name your neighbors. Yeah. And this is the second person that came to my door because I, for some reason, we'll leave the door open during the day when I'm working so the cat Riri can like stare outside. Well, then they know I'm home. So they knock around the glass door and they can see me. And I'm like,
so there's an exterminator service in Indianapolis where all the employees are running around on hoverboards. This is awesome.
And the guy that came to my door, I think, was from Colorado.
They sound awful.
It's better than exterminators that aren't on hoverboards. I mean, let's go.
I don't think so. I think if you're going to drive around murdering things all day, it shouldn't be whimsical. You know what I mean? You should be, at least have a sense of duty when executing animals in fucking proliferating chemicals.
Yeah.
You should do it in a van.
I would only hire them if you're going to be spraying while you're on the hoverboard. I want them banking and doing laps. And then.
Can you imagine like rolling around fogging a yard on a hoverboard?
I mean, that'd be awesome. Pretty. I think they're the sales reps, and then they have their technicians come out. For my guy was like, well, with COVID, a lot of them aren't coming to work right now because they make more from the government. So he's like, so now I'm kind of doing double duty.
So we got hoverboards, and it's going great. I mean, we really turned things around with the hoverboards.
We got one of those loans from the government, bought us a bunch of hoverboards.
A whole fleet of hoverboards.
Like, I wasn't sure if I respected him more or less for being on a hoverboard. Like, to me, you're being easy on some level. Like, if you're canvassing a neighborhood on foot, that's hard work. Canvassing a neighborhood on a hoverboard, that's just standing there. Like, but is he just being super efficient? And so I should respect him more, or should I disdain him more for being super lazy?
Has anyone ever ridden one of these? Have you ridden one, Jeff?
I would not even try.
I would
hurt myself.
Yeah, I've never been on one. Maybe it's, you know, the greatest thing in the world. I don't know.
I don't know.
Jess?
I haven't.
It looks cool, but I usually only watch people on TV that have a lot of skill. You know what I mean? They're like professional boarders, so.
So it
comes naturally.
How long did you
Todd's catching the hoverboard championships this weekend, everybody.
No, me and my kids, we watch fail videos for fun. Uh-huh. And the number one video in every fail compilation is some guy who looks like my ass trying to get on a hoverboard with a bunch of kids around him and him going down hard.
Really?
Shit. Oh, yeah.
Do you know that Seth Rogen, when they wrote Pineapple Express, that's how they came up with like every scene was they just Googled like funniest epic fail or funniest fall downstairs and stuff. And they would just reenact like that person falling down the stairs, like the funniest one they could find. Of course, Seth Rogen, they're all high as fuck when they're doing it. But that movie was awesome, I thought. And he's like, the bulk of it came from like, it was all choreographed based off these funny ass videos we could find on the internet.
That's funny.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool because you think, all right, well, we need this scene to be funny. Let's find the funniest scene on the internet that happened in real life. And then it's also believable. Like yeah. So,
what are you going to do when Seth Rogen's walking out of a Starbucks and some weirdo's like, hey, man, you stole my fall? You stole my fall for your movie.
So, Jess, how long did this guy end up, how long did he get you for?
So I'm kind of evil, and I already knew I wasn't going to do it, so I just kept talking and talking, probably about 12 minutes.
Oh, wow.
He missed out on probably a couple houses at that time, because if other people knew it was coming, they're like, ah, dang.
Screwed him over. That's dangerous.
And I was like, well, I've got like really bad weather stripping on the doors, so no matter what you do, I mean, I can't get mad that spiders walk in my basement. I basically have a welcome mat out for them. Like, are you going to get me a new door?
Little spider doors.
Let's talk. Now, yeah, they just come right in.
Did you also assume that this man was a ghost when you first saw him? Or was that just paranoia?
I didn't. But if I would have saw him glide by my windows, because I only assume that, like, you can't see the ground, right, Jeff? I mean, it's not a, you know what I mean? Like, when you just saw, like, his head kind of flip by.
Yeah, no, I just saw his upper torso and head zoom by six of my windows.
Wait, you don't have one of those full glass garage doors? It's totally glass?
Dude, I would love to have one of those, like a bar, and then just open it up with a bar there.
I'm just saying, from my living room, I can see the sidewalk and everything from the window. So I can see their feet a little.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry. So I wonder how much those full-length garage door glass windows are. Like,
I don't know. I have seen the ones, and now that I said that, I was like, well, dummy, they do kind of have them where they're like pained, but all the way from top to bottom.
Right.
So, oh, wow, this, yeah.
Like, there's people. All right, so I got a lot of questions about the pub shed, you know, after shows, whatever. But this one couple comes up, and the girl goes, you know, he just built me a pub shed because you got one. And I was like, oh, really? And she shows it. I said, give me a picture. No, like, awesome-ass luxury bar pole barn is what they had. Like, it's like 20 by 40 in this building, and it has this one area, and it's full glass, like, window pane door somehow. And inside, I mean, it looks... It's,
so they got, like, a home must, Chili's.
Must cost $200,000. I'm like, this costs more than my house, your thing yeah. does. Like, this is crazy.
That's awesome.
But it's awesome in there. I mean, it must have been, like, a... four or five car garage at least,
and they're probably never suspicious of ghosts outside with windows that large.
They can see everything.
They can see full body. They don't have that
one's got feet.
That
ghost.
Glide by, that's horrifying. Kids. Jeff, you must have been a wreck during rollerblades. I bet you were just holed up indoors all day long during rollerblades.
My favorite move of all, this is stupid, but my favorite move of all time is Jim Carrey when he walks like behind a couch and he acts like he's going down the stairs and he makes the turn until finally he disappears behind the couch. Mm-hmm. I will laugh at that every time. I don't care who's doing it as long as they're somewhat decent at it. It's the funniest shit in the world.
I stole that and all of Mike Myers' moves from one of his movies. He does a bunch of behind the couch work.
Austin Powers.
And at the brokerage firm, we had the half cubicles everywhere. So it was perfect for doing, hey, I'm going to go grab some files out of the basement real quick and then go down the stairs and then like, oh, I'm gonna go raft over there and do the kayak across the thing. And, oh my God, you would have thought fucking Jim Carrey was there in person. I killed with that shit. I was the funniest guy in the office by far.
I would have been losing my shit. That's my favorite thing in the world to watch. Like,
hey Jeff, the new guy, has he seen where you want to show him where the break room is? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, you know, downstairs. And I'm like, oh yeah, here, let me show you. And then I do the walking down to the basement. Like they ate it up. Office women just dig the shit out of me. They just couldn't get enough of Jeff. Too.
That's funny. They're all in on it. All right, guys, no basement break room. We got investors coming in around noon, so let's get it all done.
Absolutely.
Jeff, haven't you said before, like, from working in an office, you still absolutely love the sound of, like, nails typing on a keyboard?
Yeah, that's probably my, what's that, ASMR or A?
Yeah, I think that is, right? It's stimulating. Sounds
you could probably get like you can download that and play it to sleep to, you know, like well sounds probably. And shit, right?
I would love it.
It's like white noise. I love the office where I just liked when somebody passed by for a second on the way somewhere else and they came by my desk or past the office door because it gave me a quick second to think of something, you know, like, hey, fucker, or something, you know, real quick to see yell at them as they went by and then make them come back. Yeah.
Would you guys play like police pranks on each other? Like, were you guys like jokesters or was it pretty serious?
It was never serious, especially in our drug office. So I worked when I was a regular detective. My buddy is a great friend of mine now, but when he first got in our unit, I was always the youngest guy till he got there, right? And so he gets there and he's so anal, like, about everything. His desk had to be exactly in the right place, you know, his stapler, all that shit. And we used to move, like, I would move his stapler like a quarter turn or slide it up about 6 inches. Just start with that. And we would just sit back and watch and see if he noticed. And it wouldn't take him 30 seconds. When he sat down, he'd be like, and he bumps it exactly where it was before, right? So we just constantly were fucking with him. And then, like, when he first got there, he made them go get him a new phone because the phone had yellowed a little bit. You know, the plastic tends to yellow. Yeah. After it adds a little age on it. And he thought it looked dirty or whatever. So one day I replaced his phone with the shittiest, dirtiest phone I could find in the storage closet. I mean, it had crud all over it. And then we made it a little extra dirty, you know, like ground up, like we're the part you got to talk to. So it's almost like black or whatever. And then replaced the handset, just the handset part on his new phone and put it there. And he lost his ever loving fucking mind. He was also the guy, like, God love him. He, it's a free car, right? We get a free car. We could drive it anywhere in the state, on or off duty. The gas was free. You know, you had a little gas car to use wherever you wanted to get gas. And then he got new tires on there, and they only had three of the one particular tire. So they just used a different brand for his fourth tire. And lost his shit. Lost his shit. He would not drive. He made them go that day and go get a matching tire. So they had to send a runner to like a tire shop to buy a matching tire for his fourth tire.
Couldn't they just not have told him?
Detectives?
Oh, they didn't tell him. He just saw it immediately. Jeez. Like his eye went, doo, 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 doo. One of these tires is different. Change it right now. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. Everything's free. Who gives a fuck?
Why don't you put this much effort into your cases, you know?
Yeah.
He was a good detective, but because he was like Monk. Like, you ever watch the show Monk? Mm-hmm. Because he was so anal, like, no stone got left unturned. But also, it made him hilarious in The Office. And then he was sitting next to the guy we called Shaft. Because he was our only black detective, and he'd been on forever. And so he worked, like, in the 70s. He's still kind of dressed like it a little bit. And so I loved the guy because he was just hardcore. And so I called him Shaft, right? I'm like, Shaft, you know, every time he came in. And then like, shut your mouth, you know. And I'd love to go, like, into the hood with him and stuff because he fucking knew everybody and just, you know, he could solve anything. So I'm like, I'm from the country. I need to learn my way around this part of town. So anytime he had a case, I'm like, Frank, take me with you. And then one day we're sitting in the office and we get a new boss and he's just sitting there talking about, everybody had Crown Victorias at the time, just unmarked ones, the detectives. And they're like, hey, I know everybody's sick and tired of that. You know, we're going to go back to where we just get regular cars. It looked like, you know, just regular cars driving around. So I think they were like Chevy Malibus and shit. And I'm like, all right, cool. And he was like, I'm not giving up my Crown Vic. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, I go to a liquor store or I'm going to sit in the park and I get a prostitute in there. People need to know I'm the police. I don't need people coming up to my car not knowing I'm the police. And then we were just like laughing our ass off or whatever. And he goes, what? He was totally serious. Like, he didn't even think, like, wait, but this is still how police work works, right? Like, we're all like, are we all going to get fired just for listening to that conversation? Yeah. It was hilarious. He's come in real late at night, and he would, like, if you're working post command in there answering the phones, he would just pop in all of a sudden, and he'd be like, hey, if my wife calls, you just tell her that I got called out. And don't answer any more questions. And I'm like, okay. So one night his wife calls. I'm like, that was kind of funny. Well, his wife calls. And I'm like, I had to call him out for a case. She's like, what kind of case? She starts grilling me with questions. And I'm like stammering around, you know, trying to come up with details. She goes, I'm coming there. Hangs up the phone, shows up. He only lived like 7 minutes from the post. And she's like, where's that motherfucker at? And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm like paging him. I'm like, Frank, we have a problem. Like, your wife's here and she's about ready to whip my ass. Like, you need to come here now. And he's like, tell her I'm on my way home. Tell her I'm on my way home. And she fucking ran out after him. He was hilarious. I love that dude. Oh. He's like head of security, like FedEx now or something.
Nice.
Yeah. Did they bring his wife on too to fend people off?
His wife was scary, dude. Scary. I was like, she could have whipped my ass, no doubt. She was scary. Yeah. Frank was the shit. What about in your office setting to brokerage firm? What was some of the biggest pranks?
Oh, I didn't hate him. I had this guy named Geibel. Well, that was his last name. You can look up his first name. He was like a kiss ass, and I fucking hate kiss asses. And so Like I said, we had half cubicles, so I would go over and like lean on his cubicle and kind of talk to him, and I would like unplug his mouse and then plug it back in. Like just something stupid like that. But like you have to restart your computer. Like the mouse isn't going to work until you restart your computer, which those computers back then took like anywhere from 12 to 14 minutes to reboot.
Right.
So I would wait till he was on a call with an important client and then go over and lean over and unplug his mouse and plug it. And he would never even notice I did it because it was behind the monitor. I'd be kind of looking or pointing at stuff. And I probably did that 300 times. He got two new computers because of it, because they couldn't figure out why he kept on having problems with his mouse.
Really?
And so that was something fun I would do.
Shenanigans. I can't believe you didn't stay with the brokerage firm, Jeff.
What about you, Austin? You guys get crazy at the pipe fitting?
Not really.
Do you prank all the old guys?
We're all in one big office together. So, and it's a family company. I think the biggest shenanigan I used to do when I first started working there and my dad was trying to bust my balls is when you go into the bathroom, I would either go and grab a broom from the warehouse and lean it against the bathroom door so it would fall on him when he came out of the bathroom, or stack up like a wall of printer paper real quick. That type of stuff.
That's gold.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, I didn't even think about doing any mime work, and I forget your penchant for mimery is next level. I need to keep you in mind.
Oh, my God, I love that.
Downstairs work.
If I would do that to my dad, basement. He would have beat me in front of the entire office.
Absolutely. At one point, I had a desk at the Shelby County Sheriff's Department with their detectives. So it was just one big open room, and their captain had a closed door office. And the rest of us just like our, you know, desks were in a square. So they had three guys and then me. And one of the older guys in there could not stand. He was OCD about the printer. So if somebody, you printed something, a report or something, and you didn't get up like immediately to pull it off the printer and take it back to your desk, he would go nuts. So if it would sit there, and you could see him because I was catty corner, as I could see his face. And he'd look up after about 30 seconds. He'd start looking around at each of us, like trying to guess who printed it. And then it would be, you print something, Todd? No, Rick, I didn't print anything. He's like, did you print something, Scott? No. Ask each person. And then finally, he would go up there and pull it off himself, right? It could not stay there. So we just started playing a game with it. We'd always print something that you couldn't trace back to anybody. And like a Walmart ad or something on sale or whatever. And then he would start freaking out because it was a government printer in a government network and you were using your personal. He's like, we're going to get in trouble. Like, we got to check. They're going to find out who did this. We got to know who did it. Somebody's going to get in trouble for using the government network for private use.
Right.
So then I'm like, oh, dude, you just fucking opened a door right now. So one day I just started shooting shit, boom, nonstop. And it was just coming out one after another. I'm like burning through a whole reel of paper. And he's like, we can't get it stopped. We're gonna use up all the paper. And then boom, I start like, it was, here comes some porn. Yeah, I had the Masturbator 2000. It was this robot dildo machine thing, like the schematics for it. And it just kept coming up there. And he's like, oh my God, we're going to get fired.
You go over and go, what are you doing?
I was like, Rick, I didn't print it. I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Oh man. Until now, the fancy printers that are in offices, it will tell you what station has printed to that. Printer.
Yeah, absolutely. So like the port was like, we just know it came from the detective's office. So he was all freaked out that he was going to get in trouble for somebody else's shit.
A banner sheet would have changed that guy's life for sure.
Yeah.
I'll try to make it quick, but this Geibel guy who I worked with, he, come to find out, ends up, he went to college with one of my best friends and they roomed together for an entire year, just coincidentally.
Really?
But this, he gets engaged to his girlfriend in like 9 years and he goes, hey, will you throw me a bachelor party? And I go, what? And he goes, hey, me and Tina are getting married. I was like, yeah, congratulations. he's like, well, my best man, he lives out of state, and he's not going to be here until, like, the weekend of the wedding. So I was wondering if you would throw me a bachelor party. And I was like, okay. I didn't, like...
Am I even going to your wedding?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know you like that, and that's weird. And I was like, why me? And he's like, well, you know, next to him, you're my best friend. And I was just like, oh, shit, oh, I hate you. Like, I don't hate you, but, like, I'm not your best friend. But you weren't mine. Like, you just sit next to me in a cubicle. So I go, all right, so what do you want to do? Man, I want to go out. I want to go to strip bars. I want to go have fun. I want to, you know, party. And, you know, and I go, okay, well, give me a list of your friends for me to, and, you know, get a hold of. And he goes, yeah, man, like I said, he lives out of state and he's not going to be in town until, and I go, and I'm like, okay, well, like, fuck. So who am I going to invite to this bachelor? So I invited eight of my friends to a bachelor party of a friend they had never met before.
Wow.
And luckily they, so I tell Tom, I go, hey, we're going out we're going to pre-party at my house starting at 10. We're going to head out about midnight. Pre-party starts around 10. We're going to head out around midnight. So at like 9, I'm taking a nap. I'm getting my disco nap on. And there's like a knock at my door. And there's another knock at my door. And I'm like, who the fuck is here? So I go. And it's like 9:05. And it's Tom. And I go, hey, man, what are you doing here? And he goes, I'm here for the bachelor party. And I go, yeah, man, like the pre-party, we're going to start at 10, I thought. And he goes, yeah, well, my mom said you should never be late, you know, to your own party. And I'm like, okay. Well, none of my friends show up till 11:20 because that's just how we pre-party. You know, it starts at 10, you know, you'll get there about 11. We'll go out about 1 is how it normally would go. So I'm just stuck with this guy from work in my apartment for like 2 hours, just me and him. And it's uncomfortable. It's weird. We go out. He hits on all of my female friends that I've invited to go. He gets way too drunk. We come back to me and my friends were smoking weed. He decides he wants to smoke weed for the first time. And we're like, no, you shouldn't do that. And then he goes off on a tirade about what dumb motherfuckers we are and how he can handle his shit and we can go fuck ourselves. And we're like, here's the bong, dipshit. Enjoy yourself.
Bye-bye.
So he spent the next 3 hours throwing his guts out in my fucking bathroom like a dick. And so that was the only time I've ever thrown a bachelor party for anyone. And what it was miserable. No one had fun, including him or me.
Oh, but my God.
You do have experience, though, with that. I mean, I guess you could have been the entertainment for the bachelor party, too.
Yeah, probably what he was thinking. He's like,
I don't think his friend really existed that lived out of town.
Come on, go down in the basement. Get some more beer. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm killing
him. He loved you, Jeff.
Just real quick, we got some mail, or I got some mail for the podcast.
Oh, whoa. Sweet.
Real quick, I want to get from Matt Williams. Matt was, you know, last week or the week before last, we were talking about mealworms and how expensive they are for feeding your chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd's just handing them out to wildlife. He's not even getting eggs from. He's just handing them.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a tip on how to get more treats for your chickens, or AKA your birds. He said, get a bug zapper. You leave it on over your coop all night. And then when the chickens come out in the morning, they have a whole festival of dead bugs for them.
That
on the
makes
ground.
So much sense because the mealworms are just like a dry, crispy, like worm kind of dehydrated.
Yeah, so you need to just get a bug zapper and hang it out there, and you'll be feeding tons of wildlife with it.
Oh, plus, I can watch the bug zapper. That's like the best.
There it is.
Watching the Bug Zephyrs.
There's like, Todd from Shelbyville yeah. right there.
Those seemed no. much more common back in the 80s.
Yeah.
When they invented the like the tennis racket looking zapper, my dad was so happy. He literally was like, watch this. Goes outside to find one of those like gnat swarms. Like just them all. They're all minding their own business far away from the house. But my dad's like, watch. Goes and just destroys them all. And he's just like, isn't this fantastic? And
crackling like Zeus out there with a tennis racket.
I was like, they weren't even near the house. You had to go towards the pine trees. Oh,
my birds
bad.
Are getting so bright. Like, what kind of bird has like a blue head and kind of a silverish gray body? Does anybody know?
If it's a blue head and a brown body, it might be a, or if it's brown and blue, it's a brown headed cowbird.
Okay. Well, it has a blue head and.
Oh,
it,
well, I don't know.
It's little, so I, you know, it's not, it's pretty young, I think.
A finch? Is it a maybe. Finch?
Maybe. It's pretty. It
a blue headed finch. Did you say it's finch? Good eating?
No, it's pretty. Oh. So oh. It's like I was out just, I don't know, probably 45 minutes before we get started here, and I'm putting some stuff away in the shed, and I'm sitting there watching a little bit of Hannibal, like Vinny said, because I was like, oh, I got 10 minutes left of that episode of Hannibal, and let's knock it out real quick. So I'm doing it, and this bird, boom, right on the countertop, and it's like I could have reached out and grabbed it. I mean, it was that close,
aww.
And it's just sitting there. Just running around like, hey man, what's up? Thanks for the worms and shit.
Dr. Doolittle out there in your shed.
I know. I'm like, I hope all of the birds get to be like that. Can you imagine? You get a sun out there when this lands on your shoulder.
Todd just comes in covered peanuts. In bird shit, smiling ear to ear. I love this shed, Marty.
Hey, after the episode today, shoot me your address, Todd. I found some of the old bird books my grandparents used to have sitting on their
oh really?
On their kitchen table on Amazon. Like, they're these full-color kind of little, almost like Reader's Digest-style bird books. And really? They used aww. My grandparents always had, would always, let's see what this bird is. It's like, oh, it's a robin, still.
Right.
Like, there's only, like, 9 birds in Indiana. Yeah. Like, it's not like you need an entire encyclopedia bird.
Right, right.
It's pretty limited to your backyard, but...
Well. The most evil bird is the brown-headed cowbird because really? It
tell
has,
it.
I will, thank you for taking interest. It's got like a brown head and a bluish body, like a navy blue, really pretty, except it's kind of a turd. Like the mama bird will find someone else's nest, say a cardinal has like these little legs. Cardinal goes to get some food. Well, the brown-headed cowbird that's all knocked up decides to go have her eggs in the nest, and it takes like a minute for her to drop the egg, and then she bounces. She doesn't even take care of her own babies. So then the cardinal will probably take care of it, and then her egg, the brown-headed cowbird, will hatch first and sometimes kick the other babies out of the nest.
Wow, what a dick
and so
move.
The cardinal's still like, well, I guess I'm taking care of you, kiddo. It's just, meanwhile, mama bird is out there just getting, you know, preggers again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is like some Jerry Springer shit.
I know. That's
crazy.
Don't
get me started on the red squirrels. I just learned about red squirrels.
What was the name
of
that bird again?
A brown-headed cowbird.
Brown-headed cowbird. I've never even heard of
it. Are those the ones from Europe?
No.
Okay.
Actually, I have no idea.
I heard
they are in Indiana.
Blue jays are dicks too, right? Like they'll attack other birds. So like they don't get along with any other birds at all. So if you see one around your bird feeder, usually people's like, you need to get rid of your blue jay because it'll fucking like attack all the other birds.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
So I thought
how do you
a bird
get rid of a blue jay?
I thought a bird that got knocked up and then left it and then got knocked up again was called a Martinsville magpie. Is that the for those of our friends who live in Indiana?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get that.
Poor Martinsville.
They're good sports about it though.
They are. They get it. They know. Like they know what their town is.
There's nothing better than going to a shit town and shitting on that town on stage and having the people there go, you know what? It is a shit town. We right. embrace our shit town, and we're going to laugh at it and not be mad at you.
Yeah.
And those are the best shit towns. I love when they're like, yeah, you're right. This town does suck. thanks for coming, though. Like, they enjoy it. But then other people, man, they got some fucking town pride that you're just like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, you just got a stop sign. Chill the fuck out. Yeah.
But remember, Jeff, we were going to North Vernon. And I was like, I'll make a video to promote the show. So I'm just going to be funny about it or whatever. And I was like, come to North Vernon. They have, this is where it's at. It's like, I don't know, the Shrine Club or something. I don't remember what the building was. And I'm like, they got a Walmart and they got, there's a Pizza King and there's meth. That's like it. That's what they got. And these ladies just started attacking me. Oh, you want us to come to your show and you just want to shit on our town? And I was like, lady, I was joking. I'm actually not far, I'm not far from there, but let's let facts be facts. I have personally bought a lot of meth in your town. Like we did a whole wiretap in your town. Like so if you.
You're allowed to say it, especially since you're a country kid too. It's like,
I'm from a place no better. You know what I mean? So it's like, whatever.
House blew up like an eighth of a mile from where I grew up because meth. It's
so
like,
I don't know if like in their world they just saw this on Facebook and they were like, this comedian's probably from Los Angeles and wants to make fun of our little thing. And it's like, nobody from Los Angeles is coming to North Vernon. So.
I got a message on Facebook today, Todd, that a gentleman who met us after the North Vernon show. Who does the truck pulling?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the big, he's got a truck pull coming up in Indianapolis in 2 weeks. We are invited to go out and check it out and check out his truck and everything.
That would be a lot of fun, actually. Dude, I love truck pulls.
It would be so much fun. So
I've never been to a truck pull.
Don't let me forget about that. That would be cool.
Let's Fun Town truck pull it. Let's all get Corona together.
Fuck yeah. Let's get a corn dog, bunch of beers.
Oh,
fucking tear that place up.
It's out of the Marion County Fairgrounds, so that's like the perfect spot for a truck pull.
Oh, man. Yeah. I hope they got some cotton candy.
Oh, they will. I bet they do.
Elephant ears.
Yeah. All right. That'll be a good time. Hey, I got a new segment for you guys. It's called Fact or Fiction. Fact or Fiction. No theme song yet. I'll try to get a theme song.
Done.
Oh, really, really quick. The guy's name, I don't know the name of his truck, but his name's Dakota Myers.
And Dakota Myers.
He drives a big-ass fucking blue weight-hauling fucking truck.
Yeah.
I think he was the one talking about, because remember the people trying to get this show, and for some reason something happened, and they shut down the road, like the main road in North Vernon on both sides of the damn venue. Yes. So people were like, we had to put off the show for like an hour. So it's like, well, the whole town's not here. Like, nobody can get here. So let's just wait. And then when they freed it up, everybody was like, turning sideways and shit, trying to hurry up and get in. We're like, no, we're waiting on you. It's cool.
Yeah, no, this guy.
One of those guys.
I thought he was a kid, and he was with his dad, and he started talking about truck pulling, and I was like, oh, what kind of trucks your dad drive? And he goes, no, I drive it. And I was like, oh, shit. Like,
nice.
Yeah.
You just look really young?
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. Like, 30 looks like a 12-year-old to me.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
that would be a good time, though. So Dakota, we're definitely going to try to make that for sure.
Now it's time for
Fact or Fiction, and I themed it. So I have three of them, and the theme is before they were famous. Okay, you ready? So this
one. And what are we doing?
I'm going to read you a piece of biographical information.
Okay.
That usually when I do this, it could be about a historical event or a person from history or a famous person, something biographical about them, and you will decide if what I just read you is indeed fact. Or if it's fiction.
Or fiction. Okay.
Cool? Those are the rules. So I'll read it, and then we'll just go one by one. You each can vote. All right. Before they were famous is the theme. Number one. This is our guy. Before becoming arguably the greatest, wealthiest, and most famous chef in the world, Gordon Ramsay was a professional athlete. He played 3 years of professional soccer with the Glasgow Rangers in his home country of England. Is this piece of biographical celebrity trivia, fact or fiction? Jess.
Fact.
Fact. Jess is going with fact. Austin.
Fiction.
Fiction. Any particular reason why? Does he not look like a soccer player?
I'm just trying. No. It sounds like a nice amount of detail for something, but I'm okay. Going to just go with
fiction. Although Glasgow is in Scotland, so yep. I don't know. That would be crap.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go.
Oscar knowledge coming in.
I don't even know how the game's played, but I'm going to go half fact, half fiction. I'm going to say he played a professional sport, but it was not soccer. I'm going to say he played cricket.
Okay. Okay. Great guess. Great. And I forgot that was also my rules because I always do it. It will either be 100% fact or 100% fiction. Okay. I won't try to screw you over like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, all right. This piece of Gordon Ramsay trivia is indeed fact.
Ooh.
He played 3 years from ages 15 to 18, and then he had an injury, took him right out of it, went to college, or went to actually vocational school to run hotels, ended up in the culinary world. The rest is history. All right. Number two. Sylvester Stallone is known for his tough guy legacy films such as Rocky, Rambo, and now the leader of the Expendables. But did you know that his original track to show business was that of a dancer? But after losing the lead role in Grease to his contemporary, John Travolta, because he was no taller than his would-be co-star Olivia Newton-John, he pursued writing and directing his own film projects instead. Is this piece of celebrity trivia fact or fiction, Jess?
Fiction.
Fiction. Austin.
This is a hard one because I believe Sylvester Stallone directed the sequel to
Grease 2.
No.
he did Rocky.
No. Mm-hmm.
I was going to keep saying
Lords of Flatbush.
The disco movie with John. I'm having a break.
Oh, Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, Saturday Night Fever. I believe he.
Oh, and here's a little, I don't want to sway anybody, but also his brother had a hit song on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. Frank Stallone actually had a hit song on that soundtrack.
So
what?
I'm going to say it's fact.
Okay, fact. Oscar.
Yeah, I'm deferring to Austin because he seems smarter than me on this. So I'm going to say fact.
Absolutely 100% fiction. Oh, made man. It all up. Made it all up.
Because didn't he do porn?
Yeah, he did
he
do
didn't
porn.
Dance, he did, a
he
porn.
Did one softcore porn, and it was named, I don't know, just some dumb name. And then after Rocky came out and he got big, they re-released it and changed the name to the Italian Stallion.
I bet they were mad when Rambo came out. They're like, we could have done Rambone. If we waited 6 months, we could have done Rambone, you idiots.
They had to do another re-release.
Yeah, re-release Rambone. Isn't this the Italian Stallion?
Okay, one more. This one's for you, Jess. This is your guy.
Okay.
Before Patrick Stewart became a Hollywood sensation with such roles as Captain Picard on Star Trek The Next Generation and Professor Charles Xavier on X-Men, he wrote obituaries for a local newspaper in Mirfield, England. Is this piece of biographical information fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fact because he is a like Shakespearean guy. I could see him getting into it at a young age.
We like writing. The way you write obituaries. All right, Austin.
I'm going to say fact, too.
Fact. Oscar.
Yeah. Let's trace it.
Boom. You guys nailed it. It's totally fact. Totally fact.
Really?
Yeah. He worked there, and then his editor got all on his shit. I mean, we know what this is like. Like, he, as an entertainer, finally his editor was like, listen, Patrick, you got to make your mind up. You're either going to be an actor or you're going to write obituaries. And he was like, tough choice. Fuck you, motherfucker. I'm out. And the rest is history.
I feel like the group has a really good feel for Patrick Stewart.
Who?
I feel like for Patrick Stewart.
Who does?
Us.
Oh, we have a very good feel for him? Yeah, I think you guys do. I think you're in tune with the Patrick Stewart.
Feel connected.
For sure. There's really no cooler dude, I don't think.
He's sweet. He can be rough when he needs to. Sensitive guy. It's hard to find a guy that actually probably understands how women think or feel.
He also I get all that from him. That swimmer Tennessee build that I think, you know, lends itself a lot to sweaters and riding bicycles and things like that. I bet he looks great on a hoverboard.
Yeah, it would be
great.
But
he can do a lot of sort of countryside recreational activity, picnic shit. You know, I mean, he probably crushes it. Patrick Stewart on a picnic, it's done.
Oh, yeah.
It's over.
And you notice the roles he gets to. Like, you can't have his voice and his delivery and not be the guy in charge in the movie.
Yeah.
You got to be the captain or you got to be in charge of the X-Men. Like, you can't just be just the sidekick guy. Because as soon as you open your mouth, everybody's going to go, yeah, we'd rather listen to this guy. You know? Like,
He's a commanding gentleman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He does have big captain energy. I agree.
Big captain energy.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So you guys did pretty good on that, actually. I try to write
That was fun.
As if they were presented that way on Google.
From it sounded Wikipedia. Legit. Like everything you said sounded like a fact because of all the details.
We'll make them harder and harder as we go. I used to do these in Heartland Radio, and we'll start keeping score and shit.
I can see how you've been a professional liar before.
I'm a very good liar. Yeah. I was a paid liar for what? 12 years of my life undercover.
Can you imagine, though, going to school and getting a degree in journalism or writing or whatever you have to do to get a job at a newspaper and being there on Thanksgiving? Patrick, how's the journalism degree going? Are you still writing obituary? Like you went to school for 4 years to write fucking obituaries.
Right.
Like, oh, what a miserable fucking... And you don't even really write them. Like, the family writes them. You just rewrite it and make sure it doesn't sound dumb as shit.
Oh, you got to just put the commas in the right place. It's all like a fort, right? Todd McComas, 1971 to 2021. Survived by his three dogs, Gibson. Yeah. So.
Can you imagine the pressure, though, when one of your family members dies and everyone thinks you're going to just crack this obituary out of the park? You're like, guys, I don't
going to be.
Let's get Patrick on it.
What if, you know, for once it would be cool. Like, I mean, newspapers aren't around anymore. But if you would have been the person who threw a little humor or art into that, like, could it be something? Like, you're the funny obituary guy.
With my luck, though, my grandmother in the nursing home would be like, oh, my grandson, he's a professional obituary writer. I'll have him write one for you. And just be like farming me out, like all the people for free.
Spend all your time interviewing old people.
The new obituary writer's getting pissed off. Yeah, I would like to write my own obituaries, but everybody that dies comes in with one from Oske. That's a part of their will.
Yeah.
Jeff, I want to get you sat down with Rose this week. I think we need to do it this week.
Yeah, this week. I'm surprised this isn't like a Portlandia sketch. Right. Like, we're going to bring in the best obituary writer in the country, and they fly me in to fucking compose. Love
that's
it.
That's really funny.
That's really good. All right, guys. Well, this has been a fun one. Let's do it again next week. What do you say? Sounds good?
Yeah.
Just a reminder, Jeff and Austin and I, August 22nd, will be in Libertyville, Illinois at the Impact Fuel Room.
Donnie and I are going to that show.
Sweet. Jess and Don will be there.
I've actually been there and stayed at a hotel there because his work headquarters isn't that far away.
Well, nice.
That's great. I don't know where the club is, though. What's the club called?
It's called Impact Fuel Room. So I think it's more usually like a rock venue, you know, for music and stuff. So it looks really cool. But we're going to give it a shot. Marnie's going. My lady's going. If you guys want to bring yours. I know, Austin, you probably have to have somebody watch the baby or whatever. Yeah. But just saying. Open invitation. Okay. Should be a good time. Other than that. We'll see you guys next Wednesday. We are out.